going to continue on talking along the lines of what we have been talking about. I'm getting down now to where I did look at different principles, you know, of seen and unseen and stuff like that. But I just want to show some things, just practically show over the next while how that, you know, walking by faith, how it affects your life, how that we can, so to speak, reach out and receive from God and draw from God, draw from that unseen world and cause it to affect our everyday life. And it's not necessarily that we're reaching out, as I've said. In our spirit, we're plugged into God. Amen. But we've been saying that there is an unseen world and a seen world. And if you live by the seen world, you'll just live a natural life, just an ordinary life. You know what? Thank God when we got saved, we got, so to speak, like a sixth sense, which says faith. And faith allows us to believe beyond our senses. It allows us to believe that there's more, just like, as I said, with Spider-Man, when he got bit by the radioactive spider, he got a sixth sense, spidey sense, that enabled him more than everybody else. And you know what, when we made Jesus the Lord and Savior of our lives, we are connected now to that spiritual arena. We're connected to God, amen, and we get to know God and we can draw from God. And faith allows us to lay a hold on the things of God, the promises of God, to believe God. You know, when the Bible says the just shall live by faith, that's how each one of us are meant to live. It's not just for a few. It's how all believers are meant to live. We're all meant to live by faith. So to live by faith means you have to, like, be able to separate yourself from the natural arena and see beyond that. And how do you do that there? Well, we've looked this last couple of weeks at that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God exposes us to more and allows us to see more. And so when you walk by faith, yeah, you know you face problems, if you're situations, if you're pain, you know what, if you're facing a difficulty or you have a limitation in your natural arena in life, yeah, you're not. It's not that we live with our head in the sand. It just means I can see beyond that. I can see problems. I can see difficulty. Some people think, you know, that Christians, you know, who live by faith, that they're people of denial. They deny problems. No, we don't deny problems. Look, the Bible says, speak to the mountain. Amen. So you have to be able to know there is a mountain. You can't be saying there's no mountain, there's no mountain. If there's a mountain, there's a mountain. If there's pain, there's pain. If there's a problem, there's a problem. But we're not limited to that. We're able to say, yeah, I see that, but I believe what God says. Amen. Faith allows you then to speak to the mountain, speak to the sycamore tree. It allows you to interject into situations. That's what faith does. Jesus said to speak to the mountain. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, nothing will happen until you say something. Faith is released in words. You can talk about your mountain, or you can tell your mountain what the word says. Amen. You can speak directly to the mountain. A lot of Christians spend their lives talking about problems instead of speaking the promise. Amen. And speaking to the mountain. So the Bible says, whosoever. That works for everybody then. It's not just for a few. Whosoever. You know, it's amazing when it comes to salvation. Oh, it's for whosoever. But then when it comes for faith, well, that only works for a few. No, whosoever means me. Whosoever means you.
Amen.
Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
In the same way, whosoever shall say to the mountain.
Amen.
It's the same whosoever.
Amen.
So whosoever means me, whosoever means you. So people of faith are people who do things on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sitting waiting, you know, for God, like, you know, I'm waiting for God to move. No, God's saying, speak to the mountain. God made us in his image and likeness. God made us with the ability to speak. We're different than every other creature. Yeah, a parrot can go pretty Polly. Hadn't got a clue who Polly is. It's just mimicking. Can't think, it can't reason, it can't dream, it doesn't know what it's saying. It's just mimicking. But God made us different. God made us with a will so that we can choose. We can choose what to do. We can choose what to say. We can choose to trust him. We can choose to believe him. Amen. And thank God that we can. And God has given us a mouth and give us a heart. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why you have to guard your heart. Because what you put in it is going to start coming out. And when the pressure's on, you'll know what's in your heart because it's what comes out of your mouth. Amen. It's like a sponge. You know, whatever you can put a sponge into Coke and press on it, what's going to come out? Coke. You can put it into gin. You can put it into whiskey. You can put it into bleach. You can put it into water. And when you press it, what will come out? Water. Well, I'm telling you, it's the same way with your heart. You can fill yourself full of negative stuff, full of junk. And when the pressure's on, do you know what will come out of your mouth? Junk. Or you fill yourself with the natural. And do you know what will come out of your mouth? The natural. Oh, you can't win. Oh, when it rains, it pours. Nothing works for me. And your mouth is speaking, and the Bible says you'll have what you say. And you build this mindset up about yourself that you're nearly like you're cursed. You know what I mean? There's something wrong with me. Everything goes wrong for me. You know, Mr. Dark Cloud, everywhere I go there's a dark cloud over my head. Or else you can fill yourself full of the promises of God. And people don't like that. See, people don't like to hear people of faith speak, because it's not that we're, you know, mind over matter, we're positive. You know, that's, see, just positive confession, that's self-help. Self-help is get in the mirror and tell yourself how great you are. I can do it, I can do it. That's self-help. No, faith is saying what God says. The root of faith is the Word. So you start saying what the Word says, and people think, oh, you're just a... No, I'm a Word person. I'm not a guru. I'm not sitting in a cave humming all day. And then come out with some philosophy because I've been sitting humming all day. No, the Bible says meditate on the Word day and night. And then what happens? That's what's going to come out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth begins to speak. Do you know, when we were coming back the other day, we got in a taxi with this guy, and what happened was, Tyler had a Barcelona bag, and this guy's Real Madrid fanatic. And he turned around and said, I'm not touching that. And I didn't know what he didn't know what was going on. Like, I'm not touching that. And I thought he was saying, like, I don't lift stuff like that. And then we realized it's the bag. I don't touch stuff like that. And he joked to us the whole way home. Well, he was joking, but he was serious. He talked about Real Madrid from we got in the car to we got to the airport. Do you know why? He was full of it. Full of Real Madrid. And when he seen I was wearing a United top, so then he knew we liked football, and Tyler had the bag, and so he started giving out, keeping Tyler going about the Barcelona bag. But do you know what? He was full of football, and do you know what came out of him? As soon as he seen the tops, football came out. And, you know, he was throwing in a few switchers as well every time he talked about Barcelona. You know, but he was passionate. Do you know why? Because he was full of football. But you know what? I'm not full of self. And don't believe yous are full of self. We'd have to deal with self. But you know, we're not self-help people. We're word people. That's different. So when the pressure's on, what comes out of your mouth? Not I can do it. You start speaking about your God. You start speaking who you are in Christ Jesus. You start saying what God says. Amen. I cast all my care on Him, for He cares for me. No, not I can do it, I can do it. No, I cast all my care on Him because He cares for me. Amen. With my God, nothing's impossible, and nothing's impossible with me, and I believe Him. Amen. Because I believe, nothing is impossible to those who believe. So it's not, faith people are not people that are self-obsessed. Faith people are full of the Word. Amen. It's like whenever as a child in Sunday school, Dorothy used to teach me in Sunday school, but you know, we used to sing song, careful ears what you hear, and stuff like that. Sometimes them songs were done like in a bit of judgment as well, because the Father hears everything you hear and everything you see. You know, but He does. God sees everything that we do. And as a child, you were like, oh dear, God sees everything I do. You know, but what it's telling you is to protect your eyes. Protect your ears. Why? Because we all have two entrances that go down into our heart. That's our eye gate and our ear gate. You know, this here. When you stuff your face, you know where it goes? To your belly. That's why Jesus says it's not It's not, you know, what you eat that defiles you. They were like, oh, we need to stay clean with our hands. It wasn't what you were eating that was defiling you. Jesus was saying it. It's what goes into your heart. What comes out of you. And you know what? We have ears and eyes that allow us to get entrance into our heart. And your heart is like a place that's full of words. It's like it's full of words or seeds. And what you listen to gets on the inside of you. And you know what? If the natural overweighs the spiritual, when the pressure's on, do you know what's going to come out of your mouth? The natural. Amen. But you know, I'm telling you to see when you're full of the word, when the pressure's on, just like a sponge. Just like a sponge, so to speak, it's full of water. Do you know what'll come out of your mouth when the pressure's on? The water of the word. Amen. And you'll speak what God's word says in every situation. So whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever. Who says? He says. Whosoever you say, you'll have whatever you say. Jesus was teaching faith and saying, you know what, faith is something you do on purpose. And that's why when you look through the Gospels, you'll see where Jesus said to people, be it unto you according to your faith. Thy faith has made thee whole. Like with the woman with the issue of blood. Everybody was touching Jesus that day, receiving nothing. Jesus said, somebody's touched me. The disciples were saying, everybody's touching you, Jesus. She said, no, there was somebody touched me in faith. Because when they touched, virtue went out of me. They looked around and they found a woman. And she's had a change happen in her life. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith. In other words, she had a part to play. Faith is only the connection. Jesus is the healer. Amen. Jesus is the healer. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost in his earthly ministry. He went around doing good, healing all that were oppressed. Jesus is a healer. Faith connects you with him.
Amen.
Amen. It's not, you don't glorify faith. You glorify the one you touch.
Amen.
Amen. You know, when the ten lepers, they were all cleansed, but when one returned, he returned to glorify God, to be thankful to God. He wasn't glorifying, oh, I'm a great person of faith. Faith is your connection. You don't glorify yourself. You glorify him.
Amen.
Amen. Faith allows you to connect. It's just like, you know, it's like the switch on the wall, thinking it's great because it turned the light on. Yeah, but you can have a switch not connected to electricity and it's doing nothing. The only reason their power come on is because the power supply. Well, I'm telling you, the only reason there's healing or breakthroughs or answers is because of the one you're connected to. When the flick is switched, you know what I mean? You connect with God. God's the one who gets the glory. Faith allows you to connect. Amen. Praise God for Jesus. Amen. But anyway, so we've been talking about faith. Amen. But anyway, we've been looking at different things. We looked at the faith of Thomas the last time and the centurion. And we've seen that Thomas had to see to believe. He said, I will not believe unless I have physical evidence. With the centurion, all he needed was a word. Speak the word only. And that's the difference. And as I said last time, I'm not saying it's wrong to see things. That's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to make a distinction. But some people want to follow ministries, you know, maybe that have gifts of healings, gifts of miracles, because it's more spectacular. But you can't live on that. We live by faith. Yet, praise God for signs and wonders. I'm all for signs and wonders. I believe in signs. I've seen too much to not believe in signs and wonders. I'm not saying don't believe. I'm not saying, you know, don't, you know, if a ministry came through that is known that has genuine signs and wonders, I'd go to the meeting too. But some people, that's what they're living, because they want to still stay in the sense realm. That's all I'm saying. But you know what? All the other disciples seen the resurrected Jesus too. Not just Thomas. But Thomas really dug his feet in, saying, I will not believe unless I see and feel and handle. But the centurion, all he said was, speak the word, what? Only. What did Jesus say to Jairus? Only believe. That's how we live. See, as Christians, our Christian walk is not about doing. Now, I'm not talking about actions of faith. I'm talking about our Christian walk is not about doing, keeping a bunch of rules. Our Christian walk is about believing what God said. Amen. It's like Paul said to the Galatians church in chapter 3. He said to them, who has bewitched you? He said, when I preached, it was like as if Jesus was crucified among you, that you've seen what he done for you. And now you've left Jesus and you've went back to works. And he said to them, did you receive the Spirit by the doing of the law or by the hearing of what? Faith. What's the answer? Faith. He who works miracles among you, did he do it by the hearing of the law? Or by the doing of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Let me tell you, the Christian walk is not about doing. It's not about doing all of these rules to get on the right side of God. The Christian walk is about Paul saying, did I not preach Jesus to you? Did I not tell you everything he did for you? Hear that and believe what he done for you. The Christian walk is not about doing. It's about hearing. The faith comes. Because the just shall live by faith. That's how we live. We live by believing. And so it's important for us to believe God. Now, I want to head on something here for a bit this evening. I'm going to talk about Mary for a bit this evening. Mary, the mother of Jesus. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, she's an amazing woman of faith. And I know, this side of the world here, you have people who either elevate Mary so high, and then you have other people who put her so low. And, you know, where there's an over honor, and then there's an under honor of it's just like I can remember songs being sung, like F Mary and all of this kind of stuff. And you're thinking like, what? It's the mother of Jesus, like, you know. So Mary was not blessed above women. She was blessed among women. She is not on the same level of Jesus. She is not another mediator. Jesus, there's only one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. You don't go to Mary to try and get the upper hand with God, to get an answer from God. We have one mediator, his name is Jesus. Amen. But here's the thing about Mary. Mary was a mighty woman of faith. Tremendous woman of faith. And for her to believe God, like she had to make a quality decision to believe God. Like just some of the verses here, I'll just call out here before I go here. Jeremiah 32 and verse 7. It says here, Ah Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm. Is there anything too hard for thee? That's a question. Is there anything too hard for thee? The answer to that is no. Verse 27, it says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God's an awesome God. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. That's why he's called all might. All powerful. All mighty God. Amen. He is all might. I'm telling you, God's an all-powerful God. You just have to look at creation to realize how awesome our God is. Job 42 and verse Job 42 verse 2, it says, I know that thou canst do everything. I know you can do everything, God. With Abraham and Sarah that time in Genesis 18 and verse 14, it says here, is anything too hard for the Lord? When all hope is gone, is anything too hard for the Lord? That's why Abraham was able to hope beyond hope. Natural hope, there was no hope. If he looked at a situation, no hope. And then God's telling them, you're going to be a father of many nations. Sarah's going to be a mother of nations. You're left with a choice. That's where it comes to that whosoever. What one am I going to believe? Am I going to believe the natural or am I going to believe God? See, the natural will put you into a small box. I was thinking about this today. I was sitting thinking about, you know, like, how big your box is kind of a thing. Like, you know, we're all in a box, so to speak, in life. Of how high is your ceiling? You know, how narrow are your walls? And just living in this world, the world will try to put you in a box and say that's what you can achieve, or that's what the height you can. But you know what? When you're connected to God, there's a bigger box outside of that. And what faith starts doing is like punching holes through that box. Amen. Kicking out that ceiling and pushing it up higher and knocking out them walls to where you start more and more to believe that all things are possible. Because I'm not just dealing with me. I'm dealing with God, to whom nothing is too hard. And when you meditate on that, you realize, God, you are almighty God. You know, the other week there, I was just getting ready to go and preach somewhere on the Sunday. And the Sunday night, I was praying, or the Saturday night, sorry, I was praying. And I just started thanking God for who he was, or who he is, you know what I mean? Who he is, I am. And I started thanking him for who he is. And I started to think about, you know what, God, you are almighty God. Thank you that you're almighty. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not limited to me. You're almighty God. God, I thank you, Lord God, that you're omniscient. That you know all things. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, I'm not just stuck with my brain. And I'm connected to you. You're all-knowing. Jesus, you are my wisdom. Amen. And I start just thanking him for who he is. And you know, just start thinking of the attributes of God. God is an awesome God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? In Mark 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Mark 9 and verse 23, Jesus said unto them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. All things. God's all powerful. What's God looking for? Someone to believe him. Someone to believe him. Someone to, instead of just talking about how God is a good God and God's a great God, someone to come and say, God, I believe you'll do good things in and through my life, Lord. Use my life as a vessel. Lord, do great things. Show me, Lord. Give me vision, Lord. Amen. Give me vision beyond me, Lord. So that I can believe you, so that I can see more. Lord, reveal yourself more and more to me, so that I can believe you more and more. Those that know their God, Book of Daniel says, will do exploits. Amen. Now, Mary was a mighty woman, as I say, of faith, and it took faith for her to believe God. And this is where you see the difference between the natural and the supernatural. Let's look through these couple of things here quickly here. Luke chapter 1 for a second. Some people think, oh, you only read this at Christmas. Luke chapter 1 verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And we know what the Bible says of Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? And sometimes people can feel like that's your box, you know, nothing can come good from that location or that street or that estate or whatever it is. Nothing good can come from your family, bunch of nuts, or whatever it is, all the labels they want to put onto everybody. Now, when I was talking there about the 6 month, like I was talking about of Elizabeth's pregnancy here, and that was another situation that was impossible. Do you know what? God knows how to encourage you. See, when you're facing impossible situations, don't go looking for the person who it didn't work for. Go looking for testimonies. No, if you're looking for encouragement. Now, faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. But testimonies encourage you to go to the Word of God and start believing the same promises that somebody else believed.
Amen.
That's why, like, I always say this here, like, I face major things in health, okay? But to this day, I've never researched it. Do you know why? It's death. I don't need to hear that. I already know there's a problem.
Yeah.
I was getting my nose in the Word of God, so because I need answers. Mm. I don't want to hear about, you know, because I had people come and tell me, oh, I know somebody had that and they're dead today. And I'm like, oh, thanks for the encouragement. Like, I'm believing God here. That's what I really need to hear. You know, where someone says in the same boat, and they went under. Oh, did they went under, did they? Ah, oh, thanks. The only thing I listened to was something that would encourage my faith. And even to this day, there's stuff Dan will tell you. If a film on, like, she was watching a film the whole week, and the film, a film starts off, and you think, oh, this is good, this is good, and then you go, oh, no, this is somebody dying in this film or whatever. I get up and I leave the room. Do you know why? I'm not watching it, because I know what it's like to be there.
Yeah.
And I know what it's like to have the thoughts keep trying to get into your mind and plant seeds.
Yes, right.
So, like, I what I was believing and what I was saying was, I'm going to see my children's children.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk my daughter down the aisle one day. Yeah. Amen. And then God expanded that a few years ago in my heart, just sitting meditating on things, and start seeing your grandchildren or your great grandchildren.
Yeah.
Amen. I was believing God first for to see Alexis walk her down the aisle. And then I'm believing God to see my children's children as well on top of that. Amen. That's the Word says. And then I'm believing God, oh, you know what? I'm gonna hold my grandchildren. Amen.
Yeah.
Great grandchildren. You start believing. Amen. And you know what? I you need hope.
Absolutely.
You need hope.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough death in this world. You know, people have said to me, well, what if it doesn't work out for you? Well, do you know what? I'll live longer. Believe in God to live longer than I would have 12 years ago when the doctor gave the report to pick out your Man United coffin. You know what I mean? But you know what? You have to fight for what you're believing for. I'm believing. I believe what the Word says. With a long life, He satisfies me and shows me the power of His salvation. That's where my faith is at. And I'm not going to listen to people who's going to talk you out of it. That's why I don't listen to people who run down everybody. I don't listen to people who just sit there and they go through everybody's message looking for wee things. They never give you the whole message. They don't give you the context. They give you one thing, one snippet. So you could take a snippet out of anybody's message and say whatever about it. And I'm not saying there's not people out there that are doing wrong things, but that's not where my focus is as a minister. I'm going to preach the Word. The Word corrects us all as we're preaching it. You understand it? It brings correction when you're preaching. It lets you know. It gives balance to your life. So when you hear someone, you go, I don't know if I agree with that or not. Amen. Find Elizabeths in your life. People that are, when you're believing God for something that encourages you, that you go, oh, praise God, it's working for them. I'm going to believe God as well, or I'm going to continue believing God. Amen. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail." I never knew what that meant over the years, "Hail." I thought that was just something that came down from the sky. But you know, "Hail" means be full of cheer. It's like saying, "Hey, I have amazing news for you." Praise God, the Bible's good news. Amen. "Hail, thou art highly favored." That was the good news. "The Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women." Not above. Not above women. "Blessed are you among women." But Mary was highly favored. And we know, like from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, that's the exact same terminology that is used for us in Christ, where he has made us accepted in the beloved. It's the exact same word. It's only used in Ephesians chapter 6 and chapter 1, verse 6. And here we're talking about you're highly favored. "The Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled. Notice this here. When she saw him. This is an angel coming. What'd you do if an angel appeared in your room tonight? When she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings. She was troubled at what he said. Do you know why? Because a lot of religious people aren't used to hearing good news. Yeah? They're not used to hearing something good. Somebody says to you, "God loves you." They're like, "Me?" And they're saved. "You're highly favored. You're blessed." No, not me. Saved, but still live with a sense of judgment on them. Because they're not used to hearing anything good. She was troubled at what the angel said. And look at that. And she cast in her mind, "What kind of message is this? I'm not used to hearing this." Where did she cast in her what? Her mind. Do you know the natural mind, the Bible says, is the enemy of God. It limits you. This is where we have trouble. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure everything out with our head. Verse 30, it says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." You know, you can hear something good, and fear still try to come. It says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great. He shall be called a son of the highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." This is what she's having a problem with, all of this. Do you know why? This is like, Mary, you're the one. You're the one that's going to carry the Messiah. They've heard about the Messiah coming. And she's been told, you're the one that's going to carry. And she's like, me? Me? I found fear. What? Her head's finding it hard to comprehend. That's the way many times it is with us. Our natural mind, see how we small box? Our head, it can't figure everything out because I live in this world. This is what I'm used to. This is my limits. This is... Next thing, a big box is coming, an angel comes from outside of the seen world and enters into the seen world and starts bringing good news. You're highly favored. Mary, I have great news for you. Rejoice. Rejoice. Need encouragement here. My head's about to explode. I don't know what's going on. I've heard about these things. See, like from Isaiah 7 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive." Here's this young virgin girl being told, you're the one. And the angel comes, tells her, and her mind is going, trying to work it all out. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" See, still thinking logical things. So that's why faith causes you to have to think outside of the box. How can this happen? I'm a young girl, I'm a virgin, I've never had intimate relationship before, and you're talking about a child coming up. I can't figure all of this out. My head can't work it out. That's like us trying to figure out how God's going to look after us, how God's going to sort out a situation. We're trying to work it all out in our head. How can that? It can't happen. How about just trust Him? How's about He's smarter than all of us put together? How's about He's all powerful? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? How shall this be, saying, I know not a man? So we're looking for someone, looking for a person. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost. Sometimes that's all you need. The Holy Ghost. But you don't know how big it is. You don't know how big. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest. See, it's God's power. Mary's part was faith. But it's the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Highest. It's the Almighty God. Amen. Mary's part was to believe. That's our part as well. Shall overshadow thee, therefore the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is a 6 months with her who was called barren. And it says here, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. It's not about knowing a man, it's about knowing God. I need to know. You don't know my limits. You don't know my bank account. You don't know my background. You don't know what's been done to me. You don't know what's been said over me. You don't know how the reports I got in school. You don't know the doctor's report. We can give a million different things that can limit us. And God will sit there and say, you know, I didn't know that. I'm so shocked. That's brand new information to me. I didn't know you. Wrong house. No, He'll say, believe me. The Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. For with God, nothing shall be what?
Impossible.
So you have your, this is what it comes down to. You have the natural, you have your natural thinking, you have the natural arena, and then you have God. Impossible, all things are possible. Limited, unlimited. Amen. What's the connection? Faith. In the Greek, when it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible, it says no word of God is void of power. Amen. See, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. With God, nothing is impossible. When God speaks something, there's enough power in that to bring to pass what He just said. Amen. I always call the Word of God Ron Seal, because it does exactly what it says on the tin. Amen. So you can believe it, whatever it says. There's enough power in it to bring to pass what it says. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Here's where Mary's faith kicks in. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me. Nothing could happen until she spoke in faith and received, be it unto me. According to what? According to thy word. That was the word that God sent to her. That was the word from Isaiah. Amen. Speaking to her, and what did she say? Be it unto me according to thy word. That's the same way with us. Now, this promise here was only to one person, a virgin. There's not going to be another virgin birth. Amen. That's why when you pray over someone and they're believing God for a child, you tell them to now go home and do your part, because there's only going to be one virgin birth. You need to act in faith. Amen. And trust God. I knew a person one time who believed that they had a virgin birth. They were going to have a virgin birth. I don't know what it was, trapped wind or something, but their stomach did go out, but there was no baby. Because you can't have a baby without a relationship. It doesn't happen. But this was a promise to one person. Okay, that was, but the same principle applies. You can go and find what the Word of God says to you. Amen? Amen. And that's where you say, be it unto me according to thy word. You have to receive the word. You have to take the word. You have to take it for yourself. That's where faith comes in. A lot of people are waiting for God to do it. No, there's always according to thy faith. Amen. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And notice what happened. And the angel departed. Do you know why? Because we're not to live by angels and seeing angels. Amen. That's not how we live. That's why somebody tells me, oh, I've seen an angel. And the next time you see him, I've seen another angel. And the next time I've seen another angel, I'm thinking, what are you eating? Because we don't live by seeing angels. We live by faith. I don't mean to say an angel may not come, but you live by faith. Amen. You live by faith. Praise God. It's something that, I'll just close with this evening. This is something that I know Smith Wigglesworth always said. He said that the last move of God will be a coming together of the Word and the Spirit. Amen. And I find this, when the Word and the Spirit come together, there's always a reaction. That's where life is released. It's like petrol and a flame. There's a reaction. It's like Coke. You ever see people putting the Mentos sweets in the Coke and whew, there's a reaction that comes. I'm telling you, when she said, be it unto me according to thy word, that was her part in faith. That's the word. According to thy word, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon her and she was impregnated. Amen. That seed, the word became flesh. Amen. And dwelt among us, praise God, in Jesus Christ. And he came to save us, lay his life down for us. Amen. I'm going to say this as well about Mary. Mary followed Jesus. She said, I rejoice in God, my Savior. Amen. She followed Jesus. Jesus didn't follow Mary. Mary followed Jesus. And she, you can see Mary right through the Gospels, the cross. And you can see Mary in the upper room when the Holy Ghost was poured out. Mary was a tremendous woman of faith. Amen. A tremendous woman of faith. And you know what? Her faith, we can learn from it. Just like we can learn from all the stories of the Word of God. We need to be people, be it unto me. That's personal. You have to make the word personal in your life. Be it unto me according to thy word. I believe it. God, you said it. I believe it. Amen. You said it. I believe it. God, I believe you'll do that in my life. I'm going to experience that. I'm going to experience the peace of God. I'm going to experience freedom. I'm going to experience the provision of God. I'm going to experience, you personalize it. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you for your word tonight, Lord. You are a good God. You are a faithful God.